Every now and again, I decide that it's time to tidy up some of the junk at the rectory. Stuff that I've accumulated over the years. And generally, when I do that, I come to a rather sad realization. The reason that I do accumulate so much stuff is that essentially, I've got a very short attention span. I'm actually quite good at starting things, but then after a while, I tend to go and start something else. So of course that means the tidying up never gets finished. Usually it's made worse before I wander off and do something that's more fun. But when I do start, I come across these reminders of just this way I flit from one thing to another. So, I might find my marquetry set. Years ago, I got quite enthusiastic about marquetry. Had all the little bits of wood and the glue and all that stuff, the sandpaper. I never actually finished making anything, and I hadn't done anything with it for years now. It's up in the loft. Then there's, of course, my poet's manual and rhyming dictionary from the days when I was going to be a songwriter. There's my rowing machine from when I was trying to be fit. That one really didn't last very long at all. And of course, I've got various books of walks, most of which I probably couldn't even manage now. So these things just sit there. All these things that I've started enthusiastically, but then... And it isn't just something that happens in my personal life. My years as a school governor have taught me that in education, whenever a new policy is implemented, before it even has time to have any effect, it's scrapped, and another even newer one is brought in, and so it goes on. It just seems to be one of the characteristics of our society. Constant change. Relentless search for something new. Ceaselessly discarding old plans in favour of new ones. And of course, it makes for huge insecurity. I think despite all of the advances of the last 50 years, many people's lives today are more blighted by fear about the future than they were in the past. Well, for a society like that, the Bible has some very good news. God is not in the business of constantly changing his mind. God does not change his plans. We're starting a new series today on Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's a series, you'll see some details over the next few weeks in the newsletter, but it's a series that's actually going to follow through until the end of January. We're taking it right through Christmas and into the new year. And as you'll see in the newsletter, our Advent book, which we're encouraging people to read this year, actually fits in with that because it's based around Philippians chapter 2. Many of us last year used... The One True Story by Tim Chesters. It's got daily readings through Advent. Really encouraging, really helpful. This is also by Tim Chesters. It's this year's one. If you'd like a copy, do sign up. Yet another sheet at the back of church. Because the more people who buy them, the cheaper we get them for. But it's such a good thing. So we'll need to have the orders in by the 2 weeks today so that they'll be in church ready for the start of December. Philippians. It's a great epistle to study, and it starts with some really good news about God. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Unlike me, and unlike our society a lot of the time, what God has started, God will finish. Let's turn now to the start of Philippians to see how Paul introduces that. We're having our Bible reading, which Pam's reading for us.
The reading is taken from Philippians chapter 1, starting at verses 1 to 8, and can be found on page 1178 of the Pew Bibles. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's see why Paul could be so confident, and actually what it means for us, sort of 1900 years later. At the time Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, the church was probably around 10 years old. You can read all about the Apostle Paul visiting Philippi on one of his missionary journeys and establishing the church here in Acts chapter 16. It's a great read, really exciting, really encouraging. And if you read there, you'll find that it was just an exciting start. Paul arrived in Philippi, which was a major Roman colony. It was a busy and important place. And on the Sabbath, they looked for a local Jewish congregation. But it must have been so small that there wasn't even a synagogue there. The few Jews that there were met each Sabbath down by the river, along with some others who believed in and worshipped God. And one of them was a woman called Lydia. She was actually a businesswoman from abroad, but had made Philippi her home. And when she heard Paul talking about Jesus, Acts 16 tells us, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And that actually made Lydia the first recorded convert in Europe. But maybe that wasn't so spectacular. She already believed in the one true God. She was already searching for the truth about God. So in hearing Paul, she realized this was the truth that she'd been searching for. But the next character couldn't have been more different. She was a slave girl and a fortune teller. We don't actually read in Acts that she was converted, but that seems to be the assumption that we're expected to draw, because Paul was able to free her from an evil spirit who was controlling her and give her this wonderful new start. And in doing that, Paul set up a meeting with a third character. The girl's owners, who'd made plenty of money out of exploiting her, were not amused by what Paul and Silas had done. Paul and Silas were labeled troublemakers. They were hauled off to the magistrates. They were beaten up a bit and then thrown into prison. And the jailer at the prison would have been a retired soldier. It was a common half-retirement post for army veterans. The two prisoners were handed over to him. Then there was an earthquake. The prison doors were thrown open. The jailer figured that everyone would have escaped. He knew what Roman policy was. You lose someone, you die. But Paul shouted to him not to harm himself. And that tough army veteran realized there was something going on here which he needed for himself. And he too became a Christian. So, Lydia, a businesswoman, probably quite wealthy. A slave girl, probably having had a really difficult past. And a semi-retired Roman soldier. That, my friends, is a pretty mixed bunch of people to start building a church with. But it seems to be the way that God works. He brings together such an unusual bunch of people, and out of them, he's going to build his church. God had begun a good work in them. And despite the fact that Paul and Silas had to leave straight after this, the church continued. And over those probably 10 years, since then, the church had grown. But, as so often happens, problems had arisen as well. One of the themes the letter picks up is arguments within the church. There seemed to be people pushing themselves forward. There were some nasty cases of egos getting ruffled. It seems that early enthusiasm had begun to fade. that the God who had begun a good work in them had not given up on his church there. And he certainly hadn't given up on the Christians who formed the church. And to really understand why that is, we have to go back to the very first two verses of the letter. I think often when we read the epistles in the New Testament, you know, the first couple of verses is kind of like the introduction. So you skip over those and get on to the sort of the meat of it. But actually it's in the first two verses that we find some really important stuff. Because although as you read in Acts 16 about the founding of the church, as you read Philippians, it seems to be all about what the church needed to be doing, the most important thing to remember is that this is actually all about Jesus. About who he is, about what he's done. So Paul starts by writing, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Yes, the Christians he was writing to were God's holy people in Philippi, but there was something much more significant than the place where they lived. And that was that they were in Christ Jesus. Now I admit that phrase, God's holy people, could sound a little bit off-putting, a bit stuffy, you know, sort of get the expression holier than thou, may not be terribly attractive, but actually it is just another way of saying Christians. When you become a Christian, God sets you apart as his own. When you give your life to Jesus, you are united with the Lord Jesus. You're no longer separate from God. You become as close to him as it is possible to be. What Jesus did when he died on the cross, defeating the power of sin and death, becomes applied to you. You are in Christ Jesus. When God looks at you, he no longer sees your sin. What he sees is the purity and the goodness of Jesus. I think that being in Christ is one of the most amazing, one of the most wonderful terms in the Bible. It's just such a privilege. And as we go through Philippians, we'll find some of the amazing results of that. In Christ, we are secure. Because what God has begun in us, he will finish. It's not as though God begins a good work in you and you better jolly well make sure you see it through. What God has begun, he will finish. Therefore, you are secure. Nothing can separate us from God's good purposes for us. In Christ, we become new people. We're given a new life. Sin and death no longer control us. In Christ, we've actually got a new purpose in life. It's just so many people kind of drift through life almost purposeless because they don't have a big picture to live within. But that should never be true for a Christian. We have a purpose in Christ. We have a hope. A hope that is steadfast and certain and that nothing can ever take away. In Christ, we have full salvation, everything necessary for our past, our present, and our future. So that's why I say to be in Christ is the most amazing, wonderful, glorious thing that this life has to offer. And this morning, if you are a Christian, that's true for you. But of course, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never accepted personally what he did on the cross, then you are not in Christ. You're not secure. You're not part of God's people. You don't have that purpose in life. You don't have a future hope. In other words, you have a whole load of reasons to make sure you do something about it. Because there can be nothing better than being in Christ. It is amazing. And when you do know all of that, well, it's got to affect the way you live, hasn't it? It gives you a new purpose. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. You see, being God's holy people with all the blessing that involves leads to serving Jesus. How could that not be the case? Paul realized it was true for him, and it should be true for us. One writer says, the in Christ of gracious salvation, if it's real, issues in the of Christ of responsive, obedient service. In fact, I actually think it's a way of knowing whether you really are in Christ, whether you really are a Christian. Are you serving Jesus? Because if you have no desire to serve Jesus, then maybe it's because you've never realized and accepted what he's done for you. If you are in Christ, you will be a servant of Christ. The two have to go hand in hand. It actually brings us back yet again to our theme verse for 2017. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But I guess, even hearing all that, and even thinking, get that. There'll be people here this morning who will be maybe thinking, well, yeah, maybe I should be serving Jesus. I recognize what he's done for me, and I ought to be serving him, but what can I do? I don't think there's anything I can do. I don't think I've got what it takes. And I think Paul was aware of that question, because he's got one more thing about Christ Jesus to say in those first couple of verses. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, who has saved us and made us his, is the one who gives us his grace and peace to enable our living now. And they are two such wonderful words. Grace, God's undeserved goodness to us. Peace, not just an absence of conflict, but the Bible word in Hebrew is the word shalom, and it means wholeness, everything being as it should be. And as his children, the Lord Jesus constantly pours his grace and his peace into our lives, transforming us and equipping us to serve. So this morning, if you are a Christian, if you've acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are one of God's holy people in Christ Jesus. You have been called to be a servant of Christ Jesus, and you are constantly receiving grace and peace from Christ Jesus. How amazing is that? It could almost rouse people to be enthusiastic, even on a cold Sunday morning in November. But maybe you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I get that, but it doesn't really feel like it. Even as Christians, it doesn't always feel that good, does it? That's because we've not arrived yet. If the God who began a good work in you will carry it on, that must mean that the good work isn't finished yet, mustn't it? No matter how long you have been a Christian, you are still a work in progress. The church in Philippi hadn't arrived yet. But Paul loved them because he knew that God was at work there. And he knew that because they were committed to the gospel. Do you know what he said? In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The heart of Paul's service was the gospel. The heart of their service was the same gospel. They served the gospel in different ways. That doesn't mean that all of them had to be evangelists or anything like that. But all of them had a part to play in the work of the gospel, in making and growing disciples. And that's true for us. How do we know if we're the sort of church that we should be? How do we know if we're the sort of church which Paul would pray for with joy? How do we know if we are on the right lines? Well, are we partnering together? Are we working together for the gospel? Are we making, growing, and being disciples? Are you playing your part in doing that? And it won't always be easy. It certainly wasn't easy for Paul. He writes here that at times he's in chains. And it won't always be easy for us. And maybe this morning you're thinking, I can't do that. I don't think I could keep it up. Or maybe you're thinking that you used to have that passion, but now it's cooled. But the great thing is, the Christian faith is not about me keeping going, about me having to be determined enough to hold on. It is all about God keeping hold of me. We all share in God's grace. So this morning, if you're a Christian, if you are in Christ, if you've given your life to Jesus and you are in him, your salvation is completely secure, not because of anything you do, but because of what God has done for you in Jesus. And the God who's done all that for you has work for you to do, sharing in the work of the gospel as servants of Christ. And as you do that, God continues the work he has begun in you, giving you grace and peace from Christ. And when Jesus comes again, on the day of Christ Jesus, God's work in us will be finished. That's what he promises. And because we know that, this just should give us such an incentive to press on. Yeah, there are things that can distract you as a Christian. There are things that can knock you back. But here's the thing that really should keep you going. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's what we've got to look forward to.